Welcome in, final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We will be joined by Chase McCabe shortly here on the program. NASCAR weekend coming up in Nashville this weekend. There is a question I want to throw out there to our listeners that we'll get to a little bit more in the next segment as well. Has having NASCAR in the city, has that increased your interest level at all? Like, if you're a casual sports fan and NASCAR traditionally wasn't a part of your viewing experience or your sports fandom, has having two races in the city changed that? Like, has that had a big impact on your fandom? I'd be interested to know, because obviously, you know, this is a part of the country and a location for this sport that has served them really well. I mean, they've had the awards here. There's a big fan base here in Nashville of NASCAR. I would be interested to know what the answer to that question is. Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. We are joined by our fearless leader at the moment, Chase McCabe. Here on the program. Chase, how are you?
Good, boys. How are you?
We're great.
And girl, behind the
glass. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, obviously, a big weekend coming up starting tomorrow at the Rackley Roofing Race. What's your involvement? Before we get into the nuts and bolts of the NASCAR, what's your involvement?
Well, I'm driving the number 92. No,
that'd be awesome.
That would be awesome.
See that.
I am the PA announcer of the Nashville Super Speedway once again, along with my buddy Joe Williams. So we will be doing driver intros and up in the booth calling the action when MRN is in break, and talking to the people there at the track, starting with the Rackley Roofing 200 tomorrow night with the truck series. So going to be fun. Excited to be back, and thanks to Eric Moses and his crew for allowing me to do this again.
So do we have a little bit of a Sunday, Sunday, Sunday in you? Like, give us a little taste, man.
That's more.
You can do it on demand.
It's more Monster Jam, you know, doing that Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. I mean, okay. Mine is like, you know, driving the number 18, Eminem's Toyota. It's Kyle Busch.
Oh, you know, that's, I like the little growl there. Yeah. Kyle Busch.
Yeah,
I like it. And then
the fans will boo, you know. It's probably great.
That probably will happen for sure. So obviously this is year two of the Ally 400 here in Nashville with the race taking place last year as well. First off, what was your takeaway from that experience last year, just how it was put on, how it was handled, and how much better now with that experience behind them do you think this race could be at year two here?
Well, I thought for year one, for a track that had been sitting there closed for 10 years and you had a lot of new people that were involved in it, you know, Eric Moses was hired to be the president, I thought they did a pretty good job. You know, I know that people understand they had some issues with the traffic and some concessions and things, but I feel like you learn as you go, and you're going to have some growing pains in the first year, and they learned from that. Speedway Motorsports, which Marcus Smith and the late Bruton Smith, who passed away yesterday, that founded that company, they purchased the track in the off season. They have been doing this a very long time, and it brought in new ideas, and so I think this year you're going to see a lot of improvements. They've added parking lots. They're not charging for parking, so you don't have to stop, and so they can just get people in and out at a much faster pace. And they've also added concession areas and water filling stations. You can bring your own water bottles in, $4 waters. You can bring bottled water in, and so they're really trying to make it more of a fan-friendly experience. But, you know, you got to learn sometimes. So I thought they did a good job, and I think this year is going to be even better. And from a racing standpoint, with the next-gen car and the Cup Series, I think the racing is going to be even better.
When you say concessions, then, so it wasn't like Jared found out the price of a hot dog. It was they didn't have enough concession
yes.
stands?
Yes, no. Jared, well, I mean, I don't even know if Jared knows the races this weekend. So, you know, but no, he did not find out the price of a hot dog, and it was just, hey, we haven't done this before. We've never had a Cup Series race here before. And so, you know, you got to learn. And I think that they did.
So they needed more. The lines were too long.
They ran out of water.
I got you.
I think it was a very smart move for them to allow people to bring in, you know, water bottles that are empty. They have to be empty when you bring them in, your own. Like if you're, you know, you're tin water bottle or whatever. You have to fill it up once you get there, but they're going to have water filling stations and stuff like that. So they're taking steps to make this process a lot easier.
So I'm going to throw the question that I just put out there to the listeners to you, because you know NASCAR as well or better than anybody in this area. Have you seen an uptick in interest here with the local Nashville fans, whether they're, you know, Preds fans, Titans fans, whatever, casual sports fans, now that NASCAR is here and we have races? Have you noticed an uptick in fandom and interest here locally in our market?
Yeah, absolutely I have. You know, and I think Chasing Checkers that airs Sunday mornings at 8 had a lot to do with that. I'm just kidding.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, that's got to be it. No, I definitely think so. And there's always been a hunger to get big-time racing back in this market. I mean, you've had the weekly series that ran at the fairgrounds. Previously in NASCAR, the Camping World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series ran at both the fairgrounds and the Nashville Super Speedway, but it had been since 1984 that they had a Cup Series race in this market. And then you add the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix on the streets of Nashville. It had been probably 15 years since they had run the IndyCar Series had run out at the Super Speedway, and so you bring that back. SRX will be at the fairgrounds in July, which is Tony Stewart's deal, and you're going to have Elio Castroneves and Bill Elliott and Michael Waltrip and a bunch of superstars, past and present, that will run in that race. So, yeah, I mean, I think there was a demand for it. I have definitely seen, looking at the television ratings, that it's made a big difference. And this market has always been pretty good about television ratings. But, you know, when we made the decision to air races on 102.5 The Game, you know, people – reached out and said, thank you, you know, because you couldn't find the races in this market. And so I think there's certainly a following for it. And, you know, it warms my heart to see that. And I think there are going to be some people going out for the first time this weekend, and I hope they enjoy it.
Yeah, give us the history lesson on that, you know, for people who haven't been here the entire time. It's hard for me to even understand why it would ever get away from here. It just seems like such a natural place for it.
Well, so back in the 80s, you know, the fairgrounds has obviously been around for a long time. And NASCAR was, you know, had their roots in the southeast and short track racing and, you know, super speedways like you would have up in Michigan.
Right, Brooklyn.
With that 2-mile track, which I love that track. You know, that was a rarity, you know, to have that. But as the sport started to grow, and especially as you got into the 90s, the demand for what they call super speedways or the big tracks, that kind of was there. And so, you know, Nashville had pretty good attendance still, but they wanted a bigger track because you can bring more people in. And it just, 1984, they were going other places, and so they left, and the hope was they'd come back to a bigger track. They built the super speedway in 2001. With the promise that they were going to get Cup Series racing, and they never did until about 20 years later when they had to close the track. Dover Motorsports had owned the track, and, you know, when NASCAR said, you know, you're not going to get a race there, they closed it. And then as the sport, you know, the hunger for the sport grew in the market, the fairgrounds came around again of being a potential of having NASCAR racing again. That's when, and Dover was having attendance issues, they were going to lose a race. And so they basically said, what if we reopen Nashville? We know you want to be there, and we'll move one of our races to Nashville. And NASCAR said, absolutely, we would love to do that. And now we're sitting here talking about the potential of racing at both tracks at some point, which I think is a very real possibility.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that I think that would be awesome. But that's kind of the short version. There's a lot more to it, but you know, it was the politics of the time with the in and out of the sport that had a lot to do with that.
So Kyle Larson ran away with this thing last year at the Ally 400. He's the outright favorite right now at plus 450 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Kyle Busch at plus 750 as well. What kind of a race do you expect this weekend? And do you agree that Kyle Larson's the favorite this weekend?
I don't, actually. I think Kyle's had a good season, but he hasn't had a dominant season like he had last year. If I were going to put some money on this, I would lean Kyle Busch, because this is one, he's always raced well here. He won last year in the Xfinity Series. He knows this track. He's good on concrete.
No guitar smashing?
No guitar smashing. he acted like he was going to do it, but he said he wouldn't. But I think that I would go Kyle. I would lean Kyle Busch. But I would also tell you that with this new car, I mean, it's hard to predict.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's going to run away with it like Larson did last year, which I think is going to provide good racing. You've seen closer packs. You've seen side by side. They'll put the resin is on the track, which creates more lanes. So what they call a second groove on the racetrack, where you can get more side by side racing like we saw last year. I would not rule out the Nashville-based Trackhouse team of Daniel Suarez and Ross Chastain, which is Justin Marks and co-owned by Pitbull. So I think they are going to potentially be a factor. I do like Joe Gibbs Racing, which is Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., and Christopher Bell. So, you know, it's anyone's race, in my opinion, which I think is what the fans want.
Chasing Checkers every Sunday morning at 8 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. Chase,
we'll have
McCabe.
A special one tonight.
Ooh.
at 6. Actually going to have that tonight and then a 30-minute tomorrow leading into the truck race, because we are airing the Camping World Truck Series race tomorrow night, the Xfinity race on Saturday, and then, of course, the Ally 400 on Sunday as well, with coverage beginning at 3 o'clock for that. But we'll have a lot of special guests, including Denny Hamlin.
Ooh, Chase McKay, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.
So your excitement level for a weekend like this compared to, say, I don't know, like a Cowboys huge game against somebody or something like that. Like, how does this compare to other, like, massive sports excitement weekends for you?
Yeah, this is up there. Saturday's my birthday, so, you know, I think this is a good way to celebrate being 35. So, which, man, that
this is huge, Chase.
That hurts.
Ancient.
To say.
Yeah, tell me about how that hurts.
Yeah, it does. My back hurts. You know, that happens. I got a weird pain in my elbow. I may need Tommy John. Who knows?
It'll get better, man.
Yeah,
Rexford was 35 in 1935.
Pawpaw.
Yeah, the stock market was really a problem back then.
It was.
But, yeah, no, I'm really excited because that's my happy place, being in a racetrack. And I haven't been to a race since Daytona, so I'm excited to be able to do it.
Well, Chase, awesome. We're looking forward to it. Thanks for taking time to join us here this morning, and have fun this weekend.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Chase McCabe, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. I want to take your thoughts. We've got some of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Is having NASCAR in the city increased your interest in the sport? We'll get to some of those thoughts next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Thanks to Chase McCabe for joining us in the last segment. Looking ahead to a big racing weekend here in Nashville. Speaking of, I got a pair of tickets to give away to this Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series race at the Ally 400, the Nashville Super Speedway. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to this Sunday's NASCAR Cup Series race, the Ally 400 at the Nashville Super Speedway, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, I threw this question out there in the last segment to our listeners. Has having a NASCAR race in the city and the awards in the city, and as Chase pointed out, maybe one day two races throughout the course of a NASCAR season, has that increased the fandom here? Is, if you're a casual sports fan, are you now more invested in NASCAR? Do you care the same as you always have? Do you not care at all? Like, what's the general reaction to NASCAR and having races here in our city? I'm interested to get people's thoughts on that. Dennis on the text line says, they could have 20 NASCAR races in this area, and I would still have zero interest. I just can't get into it. I've tried. This is coming from Dennis on the text line. Do you have extensive experience with NASCAR?
Well, it's funny. So I remember interviewing Kyle Busch when he was one of the young guns.
Yeah.
So this is, I mean, seriously, I think this is exactly 20 years ago at Michigan International Speedway in Brooklyn, Michigan. I had a blast for, I'd say, about 3 or 4 summers in a row. That would be part of the summer. You would basically lock in a week that you were going to go and do a bunch of stuff. Did quite a few feature stories. I had a blast. It's great access. I mean, the only person back then who was, you had to kind of jump through hoops was Dale Jr. Like,
yeah.
He was the only person you couldn't just go to the trailer and be like, hey, you know, can you talk for a few minutes? I think it's awesome. Up close, it's awesome. I think that there are other sports like this where if you experience it live, even just like qualifying is like, man, like when you're there, it's something to behold. And for me, it's just tough on TV. I think people who are really into it, obviously, they love it on TV. It's just like, to me, hockey, a little bit different, but hockey, to me, in person as opposed to on TV is a huge difference.
Agreed.
Now, once you're into hockey, like, I don't care that I can't see the puck right now because it's on the near boards. I know where it is by watching the players, right?
Yeah.
But that's why they did the stupid glowing puck and stuff. Like, they're trying to bridge the gap for people who are casual. If you love it, then it's fine on TV. But some sports, like football, you know, is made for TV. It's just how, just like the framing of the TV.
Yeah, I prefer
perfect.
Watching football on TV than yeah. I do being in.
See,
in
there the, you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I still would prefer anything probably live. You know, you can see the entire field and all that. But, yeah, it's a great TV sport. All that is to say, I really respect it, appreciate it. Again, I think it's a great experience. And I do think having it here, you know, you're just going to have some people like, hey, let's go check it out. And maybe you grow your fan base by that. Just having access to it, I would think, would bring some people out who would then be like, wow, I think this is great. But for me, like, it's because of the TV aspect of it, I don't follow it closely.
Well, I mean, it sold out quickly last year, the race at the Super Speedway. I mean, it was sold out, and the crowd was great. It was a hot day, and the race wasn't all that great. Like I said last segment, Kyle Larson basically just ran away with that thing the whole time. So it wasn't necessarily a great race last year, but the crowd was awesome. Now, there were some problems, as Chase talked about, with concessions, and apparently the traffic getting in and out of there was just brutal last year. So I don't know what they've done to change that and how much better that's going to be coming up this weekend. Hopefully it's a little bit better. I mean, I think you're going to run into some traffic over there just based on the location and where it's at. But the crowd itself was awesome last year. I do wonder. I mean, last year was – it's brand new. It's a Cup Series race. It's a great weekend. Like, I still think you're always going to get – with an event like that happens once a year, you're always going to get a pretty good crowd. I do wonder if, you know – 2-3 years down the road, does it have the same pop to it?
The novelty wears
new.
Off a little bit. Yeah. So, have you ever been a close follower of NASCAR? Are you? Have you ever had a favorite driver, things like that?
I would say when I was younger, I was. But, you know, I remember exactly where I was when Dale Sr. died. Like, I was watching that race. I used to root for Jeff Gordon a lot. You know, I would say my NASCAR fandom was more probably back in the very late 90s, early 2000s. And it's faded a little bit since then. Now, you know, there are people in my family that they watch every lap of every race,
mm-hmm.
which there's a lot of those people.
Yeah.
So.
No doubt. Interesting that you rooted for Jeff Gordon, because that used to be the big thing, man. I mean, you were counterculture if you rooted for Jeff Gordon.
I was also like the most nine.
Hated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 9-year-olds liked him.
Yeah.
I never got like the just the intense hatred for him.
Well, I used to have this NASCAR game on the Nintendo 64, and Jeff Gordon was my driver. So I think that's basically where it started. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm rooting for Jeff Gordon.
There you go. Okay.
The Nintendo 64 is really the root of many of my life decisions. It's basically how that goes.
I was more of a GameCube girl.
Okay. See, GameCube was good. 64 before GameCube.
It's all a little bit over my head.
Joe's an A-techer.
Yeah. Well, I was that was like in between like my Atari and then my kids' more advanced, you know, like not current stuff.
Oh, yeah.
PS2 or 3 or 4.
I got a text that says, I don't care more than I used to. Between the fuel, rubber, oil, other fluids, exhaust, etc., NASCAR and motorsports feels like the biggest waste of natural resources.
That's one way to look at it.
And gas prices are a little higher right now. I bet that racing fuel is pretty high, too.
I would think so. Michael says, my father-in-law goes to the weekend in an RV, parties all weekend, leaves when the race starts. Yeah, there's people who do that, too, for sure. It's all about the
That's basically
amble to the race.
I've never been to this, but basically, I've heard Talladega is just nuts. Like, it's just one big party all weekend.
All week. And the race,
you know,
is
people
like,
care about the race, but the race is kind of secondary to just the party.
Sometimes the biggest cocktail party in the world, you know, the game's secondary to that, too, right?
Yeah. I mean,
sometimes the tailgate's the best part.
Yeah. John the Mailman texting in says, I drive for a living. I don't need to watch people drive for a living. This comes from John the Mailman.
Who's from New Jersey? I know that because John the Mailman constantly is trying to tell us how awesome New Jersey is. So
he also hates Boston sports.
Well, yeah, well, that's okay.
As most people should. The look I just got from Michelle on that comment was not great.
It's so weird to be a New Yorker.
Listen,
like
Robin guys, sports. We've gone through this. Listen, Jersey, no. New York sports, no. Boston's close to me, so yes.
Yeah, but there's still that state line, you know? Like, you're supposed to hate them.
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't. I can't wrap my hand around it.
Fan.
Well, right, but you're a fan because of location, right?
Kind of.
Like, mine has nothing to do with location.
Yeah, you can be a fan of random teams. Lots of people are, but you're a fan because of location. But you are not abiding by the state boundary rules that you should hate Boston sports.
Okay, I'll follow the rules, Joe.
John the mailman.
I feel like between this and like you know, Robbie and I, instead of Robbie and me, I've been kind of mean today. Sorry.
Joe's like a teacher today.
Although someone on the text line supported me on that, by the way.
Of course they did.
Yes.
It's a very common mistake. We're just trying to make the world grammatically better, okay? One person at a time.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Scott Powers story that we had earlier of leaving Roman Yossi off the ballot.
Speaking of ripping people,
we'll get back to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 7:05 on 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds face the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza and Farm Bureau Health Plans. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, Cody on the text line said he won tickets to Dega, and it revitalized his liking for NASCAR and plan on going this weekend. Also, the party at Dega is insane.
Dega. Has Chase, by the way, been to all most of these tracks? That would have been a question.
I don't know if he's been to all of them, but I bet he's been to a number of them.
Probably been to the Dega, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's been to Dega.
Yep. It sounds fun.
It does. Maybe we'll go. Maybe we'll do the show from Dega.
Yeah, you think so?
Maybe.
Okay.
Shake and bake Ricky Bobby. Yeah.
It's like great film. Brennan and who?
Dale.
Yeah, Brennan and Dale. That's right. There we go.
that would just preceded the Brennan and Dale, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know. It's the same.
Mike Honcho. Talked a lot about Mike Honcho this year on the program.
Yes, that's right. The origin of Mike Honcho right there.
That is correct. We've gotten into this week, the Roman Yossi ballot drama. We talked yesterday about Yossi finishing in second place in the Norris Trophy voting. I think three people voted for him for fourth place, and one left him off the ballot entirely. We now know who that one person was. That was Scott Powers from The Athletic, based out of Chicago. So Scott Powers leaving Roman Yossi off of the ballot. Others voting for Roman Yossi as fourth place. Now we know John Buchagross, one of those that voted for him in fourth. Thomas Drantz of The Athletic also voted for him in fourth place as well. So the names are now out there and are available to the public. But Scott Powers, the one not having Roman Yossi on his ballot. You had some conversations with Scott Powers yesterday. What did you learn about this process?
Well, I sent him a Slack message, all caps, OMG, Scott, your Norris ballot.
Sure, you love that.
Then I nicely asked him to come on the show, and he nicely declined, saying basically, not sure any positive comes from that. But here is Scott's explanation. Quote, I probably should have put him fourth or fifth just to avoid this. I thought he wasn't good enough both ways to be considered the best all-around defenseman. I also went by a lot of the analytics on evolving hockey to come to my decision. I had him sixth and was included in my all-star vote. End quote. And, again, Scott is a really good guy, very good at what he does. He's not like a guy with the Blackhawks foam finger on while he's trying to type in his laptop.
Yeah, he's not wearing a Patrick Kane jersey right now.
Yeah, I mean, probably. I don't think so. And yeah, you know, doesn't deserve to be, you know, profanely attacked on Twitter, but that's a pretty bad ballot, man. That's a pretty bad ballot.
It's not good. I mean, look, even the explanation of it of, you know, I just didn't feel like his all-around game was good enough to be the best all-around defenseman. It's like, well, not top five. Nobody's asking you to vote him number one. Top five? I think he 96 points, top five? I would think so.
Because here's another thing we didn't say, you know, another point. So Makar was first on his, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just take Makar as a defensive defenseman. You could say he's better than Yossi.
But the numbers will point to that, yeah.
But McCarr's first on his ballot because of McCarr's offense, right?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, like McCarr is elite because of his offensive game and what he does to create offense for them. So if you believe he's number one, you must value that. If you value that, Roman Josi cannot be off your ballot.
Well, I said this earlier. Like, people make this way more complicated than it needs to be sometimes. Sometimes it's the opposite approach. Like, they just put no thought into it at all, and they just submit a ballot, and they move on with their day. And that's a problem as well. But some people way overthink it. And to me, this is the case of way overthinking something. Like, sometimes it's just as simple as, yeah, the guy had 96 points. That's the most points a defenseman's had in 30 years. That's good enough to be in the top five. Like, I'm sorry. First off, Greg Wyshynski basically said this yesterday on the DDC, and I agree with him. Like, anybody that had him less than, like, lower than third, it's kind of absurd. Like, it's a little bit ridiculous for anybody that voted him, you know, anywhere below third, much less off the ballot. So Scott Powers is going to get a lot of crap for that because he was the one guy that had him off the ballot. I mean, that's inexcusable. Honestly, I don't view Buchegross or Thomas Drantz all that differently. I think it's pretty much equally ridiculous to have him fourth, especially when you have Christopher Tanev at number five on your ballot, which I told Jared yesterday is basically like putting Corey Davis in the top five of NFL MVP voting. The guy had 28 points in 82 games.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, we've talked about this in years past. We talked about this when Josi won the Norris Trophy and John Carlson led the league in points for a defenseman. We're like, well, it's not all about just the points. And it's not. It shouldn't be all about just the points. But it is partly about the points. Like, you can't just totally ignore that. And, you know, I saw Drantz. He was getting into Twitter battles with Preds fans and all kinds of people.
Uh-oh.
And which is, you know how well that normally goes. But one of his responses was always, well, it's not a defenseman scoring award, which it's not, but that is part of it. Like, if you're going to go best all-around defenseman, well, all-around includes offense. And it's not like Roman Josi just had some run-of-the-mill year offensively where he led defensemen in scoring. He had 96 points. He almost had 100 points as a defenseman. So all-around, in terms of impact on the game, like, you tell me, is 96 points more impactful than, I don't know, Christopher Tanev's defense with 28 points attached to it? I don't know. I guess different people would answer that differently.
I would say most people would answer it the same.
Now, in fairness, he did have Josi ahead of Tanev.
That's the thing, because that's why it's not as bad as Powers.
Yeah.
Because Powers, by Powers' ballot, Josi is the same as Tanev and every other defenseman. They're not worthy of the ballot, right? Not worthy of being in the top five. That one's just wild to me. The Tanev, you find all these ballots. Sometimes you have the, well, which I hate, well, the hometown guy, I'm going to give, you know, not nearly worthy of the award, but I'm going to give a third place vote to get a little, you know, yay, I hate that. Or, like, I read the Tanev thing as almost Drantz saying, I'm going to put my favorite defenseman at the last spot on the ballot just to show that I value that. I don't know. Again, maybe I can go in his mentions and maybe he talked more about that. But at least he had Josi on there. Like, it's a tough one.
It's inexcusable.
Yeah. No, it's pretty bad. And it's, I guess in a way, I was, when I heard it was Scott, I was like, what? That was my first reaction. That was stunning to me. I was a little surprised. I thought this was going to end up being the case of, like, the Avs homer who wanted to help McCarr win the award by not giving any points to the top contender.
Yeah. I guess in a way I'm kind of glad it wasn't that. Because can you imagine
And that's the thing. If it was that, then I would actually say, like, okay, that if we're not going to revamp everything, and I don't see that coming. I think it should be. But if we're not going to revamp it and make it a much smaller group of people who actually talk to each other and hash these things out, then at least take that vote away. I would not say take Scott's vote away. But I bet you after a few days of whatever people are coming at him with, he'll he'll probably regret that because it's senseless. There's no point.
Well, then you look at the ballot that he put out there. So he had Cale Makar at number one, which that's fine, whatever. Cale Makar absolutely deserves a North Trophy vote.
Nothing wrong with that.
At Charlie McAvoy at two, which is when you start to raise your eyebrows a little bit. Look, McAvoy was great this year. Was he number two? I don't know about that. You had Devontae's at number three. So you had Makar at one, Devontae's at number three from the Avalanche. At number four, Aaron Ekblad. At number five, Victor Hedman. So Hedman was fifth on his list. But I keep bringing this up because I haven't seen anybody else bring this up. And I guess people just don't care about this as much as I do. Aaron Ekblad missed 21 games. That's a quarter of the season. And you put him in the top five of your Norris Trophy ballot? Like, I understand Florida was really, really good. By the way, Florida was really, really good after Aaron Ekblad got hurt, too. So shouldn't that maybe tell you something? But, like, I don't for the life of me understand having Aaron Ekblad in your top five when he missed a quarter of the season. Like, it just makes no sense to me. So he had Aaron Ekblad over Roman Josi, and no one's talking about that.
Yeah.
Like, Aaron Ekblad finished in sixth place, I think, in the overall Norris Trophy voting. And I said it yesterday on the show. I was like, you don't have to play anymore to get votes? Miss a quarter of the season?
Well, it's like you have to qualify for certain statistical categories, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, it's almost like maybe that should be part of it too. Like, must have played whatever game. I guess that would be right around the cut line probably. But still, like you said, if you're saying best defenseman, you know, you're talking about, you're comparing all these guys. I mean, that 20-game difference has to be a factor, right? I mean, there's a lot of things you can nitpick. You probably go through any voting situation and find ridiculous ballots like this. And this is a huge voting group, so you're going to be more likely to find some ridiculous ones. And we're talking about it because the local guy didn't win, and I thought he was going to win. He still ends up with six more first-place votes. So a whole bunch of people who also are – you know, hockey media who are informed on the game put him, you know, 98 of them put him first.
Yeah. You know?
So I think with Scott, you know, again, I don't know all of the analytics he was referring to on Evolving Hockey. But I guess I would hope you'd look back and say, yeah, 96 points does matter. It has to be a factor. It doesn't have to be the only thing you look at. That's oversimplifying, and probably some people who voted for Josi seriously took 5 seconds and did that, and that's not cool.
No.
But, man, overthinking it or whatever. Phil in Kentucky says, this guy's waving a Hawks flag, has a bias against Nashville, no question about it. No, I don't think that's what it is, Phil. I don't think either of those things is true. Guy needs to lose his privileges. He's a liar and deserves reprimand. I don't think he's a liar either. I just think he had a bad ballot.
Well, it does bring up the question to me of, are there too many people voting on this thing? Like, we talked about this earlier. I don't think the PHWA is going to modify anything, so it's probably going to be the same thing next year in terms of the voting process. But, like, do you need to take a look at – sometimes you can have too many people voting on the award. Like, I would probably rather see pretty much every award voting system go to, all right, get a committee that's just dedicated to this. And they pay attention to all these things. They get together. They hash it out. And they try their best to come up with the most deserving candidate. Now, I'm not even saying that the most deserving candidates didn't all win. Like, Austin Matthews won the Hart Trophy. Some people are mad about that. Now, there's some people that had Connor McDavid not on their ballot for the Hart Trophy, too. And I'm just like, are you kidding me?
And who the heck did that? See? Like, stuff like that. Like, why?
Yeah, it's just stupid. So, I don't know what the answer is as they move forward here, but there's not a perfect solution, basically. I mean, we had a bunch of people yesterday talking about get players to vote or get GMs to vote or coaches to vote. You run into the same stuff then. Players have biases. You know, GMs are paying attention to their team. They're not paying attention to the whole league. You know, we saw this last year with Saros not being a Vezina Trophy nominee.
Well, right. That was a total oversight by the GMs.
Yeah. So it's not perfect any way you want to cut it, but pretty bad. Pretty bad ballot by old Scott Powers.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, it's not just a points award, but if you watched him play, I mean, come on, right? Well, if you watched him play, you know how great he is.
Well, that's the other thing. Like, this is not a shot at Scott Powers or Thomas Drantz or anybody that didn't vote for Josi in the top three, but this is just kind of a statement of how this goes. A lot of the people voting on these awards are covering a team. So you're playing in the NHL, especially this year in the second half of the year when it's a condensed schedule. You're playing every other night, so you're covering games every other night. You don't have time to watch Cale Makar play or Roman Josi play or all this other stuff. Like, it's a flawed process that way anyway, and I don't even know how you fix that, because even if you get a committee, you can't watch every game at the same time. So I don't know how you fix it, but that just adds to it. Like, how many times did Scott Powers actually watch Roman Josi play this year? Right. How many times did Thomas Drantz actually watch Roman Josi play this year? I don't know, but...
Yeah, you could keep it to the LeBron, Saravelles, et cetera, who cover the sport at large. You could do that, and you—I mean, you wouldn't have anyone with a Josi 6 on a ballot. I would not think. Real quick, I know we have to go to April. In Portland, had a very long text, but my favorite part is anyone that had Josi 4th, 5th, or left off needs to be throat punched. April in Portland, woo,
getting out there,
throat punching.
That's right. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll get to more of your thoughts coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Rex Road in style coming in here for the last segment. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ray in Hendersonville texting in says, this just in, Scott Powers awards the 2022 Stanley Cup to the Ottawa Senators. It's coming from Ray Hendersonville.
Nice. Good analytics.
See, he's going to have to, you know, Scott, when you have a ballot, that's bad. That's that bad. You got to go through a couple days of shaming, and then everybody moves on.
Do like the thing. I think. Like the walk through the town, like shame. Like
is today the last day we'll talk about this, you think?
Well, see, the thing is, what stinks about this, and again, it has nothing to do with like ripping coworkers. I mean, today I've complained about Jared, Carol, you know, Caroline, Michelle.
Me.
Yeah. I mean, But it stinks because I know.
Can't say anything about me yet because you know better.
Exactly. I fear you. We're in the same room together.
Joe better know better. I'm house sitting this weekend.
Yeah, you're everything sitting. We talked about Gus and Quinn's pooping. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. I hate this because, again, I know Scott. And he's really good.
Yes.
And I bet you most of his ballots aren't stupid like this one is. So, because this could be a good like run, like if it was somebody else, if it was like, just like pick a fake name, you know, like David Putty, okay, like Devils, you know, then we could just make David Putty jokes all the time about a lot of things. But I feel bad weaving in Scott Powers like that, you know. I don't want to like make him a constant source of joking, but we may have to.
Well, I would hope that if I filled out a ballot like this, that you would joke about me. I would hope.
Call it a Robbie.
Just like, man.
He Robbied him.
Robbie, that just wasn't quite your best effort there, man.
It's like getting Munson'd.
Be better next time.
It's like getting Munson'd. Yeah. You know, like this is now, like this is getting powersed.
Yeah.
We'll have to come up with things that are like getting powersed. And April says, glad you enjoyed the throat punch. LOL, I'm joking. Yes, I know you're joking. I know that you're not actually violently. And she just said, when my students act like idiots, I tell them I'm going to karate chop their face off. Jeez, we're getting into some serious stuff here with April today. good stuff.
Next time the Blackhawks are in town and Powers is here, they're going to like show them on the Jumbotron for the press box.
Oh,
the
whole stadium, my just, goodness. Everybody will think it's Jared, and then boo even louder. Cody says, do you guys wish Josi would come out and address this?
What's he going to say?
Yeah. Scott Powers coming for you.
Yeah, Scott Powers. Again, love of God, what do I have to do to be on your top five?
Again, to make clear, because someone asked this earlier, like if Scott Powers' ballot was changed to Josi first, it would not have, like he still would not have won the Norris. It would have taken a few more of the questionable ballots.
Yeah, like if the three people that voted for him fourth and Scott Powers, who left him off the ballot entirely, changed their votes. It could have made a difference.
Yeah. Someone asked if Josi winning recently hurt him. I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
Necessarily. Gator Tim says Cale Makar's going to win the next 5-6. He might. But I also, it could be it may become a thing like, okay, who else other than Cale Makar might win this year, and let's vote for that guy.
Yeah.
So that could happen. So I wouldn't totally close the door on Roman Josi ever winning another Norris. I liked the move by John Hines to take him off the penalty kill for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can do it.
I would have liked to have probably seen it on the playoffs. Like when that power play is just lighting you up, maybe time of the playoffs, put him out there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. But I think also on an individual level, I saw quite a few people referring to that. So first of all, I give people credit if you're doing your homework on, you know, who's he matching up against and penalty. You know, that's fair. Those are all fair things to bring up. They totally are. This isn't just a points award. But also.
They do matter.
They do matter. And when you're that ridiculously good and you have a historic season, I think you and again, watch him play. I'll bring up Willie's point from yesterday on DDC. If you are controlling the game the way he did so many nights, controlling the puck, triggering offense, what's a better defense than a great offense? None. None is the answer, Elijah.
That's correct.
That's right.
It is kind of amazing. You brought this up yesterday, and I guess I knew it, but I didn't really think about it. Victor Hedman's won the Norris Trophy one time. He's been nominated like every year. He's right. Nominated all the time, but
always a bridesmaid.
He's won it once.
Yeah.
So I mean, that kind of makes me think about Cale Makar. Like, I have no doubt that Cale Makar, as he continues to move along here, he's probably going to win it a few more times, and he's definitely going to be nominated moving forward.
He'll be nominated every year.
Yeah. So,
and he's probably going to have some seasons that are so just looking at his skill, he's probably going to have some stupid seasons that will win the Norris. But I bet you there will be some years where it's like he has a good year, and he might be the best defenseman, but he won't win it.
People because, are like, eh.
Right, and they're looking for something else.
Which, again, is a problem, but that's the true human element to it.
Yeah, just take it away from the masses, get a group of people who pay attention to the sport, and, again, can talk everything out, get all the information together, and come up with a good informed decision. And people will still complain, but you won't have the weird outliers. Well,
it's kind of like the NBA, like with LeBron in his prime. What do you have, 4 MVPs? It's like, okay, well, you probably could have tossed 4 or 5 more in there and been more accurate, but it's just not the way things
are. Yeah, like he's there, so can someone beat him? And even if you get close, you might get the vote.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens. Joe, very quickly in the last 15 seconds. Bill Haslam press conference coming up. What do we think happens here? What are we interested in?
Well, and Herb Fritch also talking. So I mean, I'm just interested to hear. You know, really, to me, the most interesting thing is like, is this going to be business as usual for the ownership group, or does this signify a change in that?
Yep.
That to me is the most interesting question moving forward. Like, just how the Preds are going to be run.
It'll be interesting to see what happens on that front. Bill Haslam coming up on the DDC at 1:15 today. As well. That does it for us. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. The DDC coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.